Good morning. Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for everyone listening in today and being participant of this worship service. Thank you to our digital listeners for tuning in. Please open up your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Now, the last time we had this text preached to us, it was by our guest speaker, Mike Jewell. And if you missed that, I would encourage you to go back and give it a listen because he made some great points. He made some great points that I wrote down into my own notes. But some great takeaways for us. Now, before we move forward today, I want to impress on you something very important. I want you to think about this. Mankind was created to bring glory to God. Mankind was created to bring glory to God. Now, our number one purpose before anything else in this life is to bring glory to God. Let me ask you this. What is our purpose? It is to bring glory to God. Well, let's begin with Jesus's closing thoughts and statements here, starting in verse 35. Please follow along as I read. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Well, let's open today with a word of prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we have to dig into your word. I thank you, Lord, for those who are participants. Lord, I pray that you would help to convict our hearts today of the things that we need to change. And Lord, sometimes we even put walls up ourselves and convince ourselves that everything's okay. And if there's any wrongs, it's outside of us, Lord. But help us, Lord, to see your truth as you want us to see your truth. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us through the Holy Spirit today. Guide us, direct us, give us discernment of the text, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see what we need most. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Now, something specific I want to draw your attention to is here in verse 36 of our text. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, this is when Jesus was looking out and seeing all of the people around him, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now, this is not the first time that the Israelites have been described as being sheep without a shepherd. And turn with me over to the book of Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, Ezekiel is in the Old Testament. It's near the back. It's after Proverbs. Let's see, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 34. And we're going to just look at a big portion of Ezekiel chapter 34, starting with verse 1. Now, make note that the Israelites always had some authority over them, but their authorities did not always do as they should. They did not always lead and help as they should. Now, let's look at an example of this, which I believe will give us a deeper picture of how the Pharisees' governing of the people were not actually helping them. Look with me at verse 1. And it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled." So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. Now, a good shepherd is to care for the sheep. They are to lead the sheep to where the good green food is for them to pasture in. They are to guide them to the water. They are to calm them in a storm. You know, they are to provide for them and make sure that there is protection from danger. They are to keep an eye on them so that they don't wander off. Now, what were the shepherds doing here in Ezekiel chapter 34? They were not paying any attention to the sheep. They were doing as they pleased. In fact, they were even killing and eating them. They were taking their wool and using it as a covering. There was no leading. There was no gentleness to their care. They just pushed and prodded and did as they pleased. And you'll see here that God is saying, you are not leading as you're supposed to be leading. This is not at all how I called you to lead my people. You're not even leading. You're just doing as you want, where you kind of stand there and be a shepherd. It's like you're wearing the garb of a shepherd, but you're ignoring all of the rules and all of the understandings as to what you're supposed to be doing to help my people. Now, let's look at the Lord's response to this. Look with me at verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock, on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken, and strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Now, I want to go back here even and look at this text one more time. This is really interesting to see what God does for his people. Look with me again here at verse 11. I want to look at specifically at the I wills that God is saying here. Because here in verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will, for my sheep seek them out. So verse 11, I will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. Verse 12, I will, he again says, seek out my sheep and deliver them. So I will deliver them or rescue them from the darkness. Here in verse 13, it says, I will gather them. I will gather them from the countries. So I will gather them from all the places they've been scattered out to, and I will bring them into their own land, their land that I have purposed for them. Verse 14, I will feed them. I will not just feed them, I will feed them in good pasture. So he's going to feed them of the best, you know, not the dead grass, but the green grass. Verse 15, I will feed my flock again, but I will make them lie down. Now, this is a great connection to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23 is a verse that says, I will, as a shepherd, God will make me lie down. And some people, they look at that and say, he will allow me to lay down, or he will let me lay down. But that's not what the text is saying. Here, it's he will make me lie down. And why that's important to register is because as sheep are skittish and they're jumpy. And I remember times visiting a friend's farm and he had sheep around him. And I was like, oh, a sheep, you know, I would just approach the sheep like I was going to pet them or whatever. And I come near them and they're just flying out of their way and they're not interested. They're like, I don't trust you right away. Okay. When there's a storm, when there's anything that may cause a little bit of nervousness, it makes them really flighty. And so what God does for us is he makes us lie down. He makes us be still during those times that we would typically be really frightful about what's going on in our lives. He makes us be calm. He makes us to lie down and relax and learn to trust in him. That's a great reminder for us. Verse 15, he will make us lie down. All right, verse 16, he does three different I wills here in verse 16. He will first seek what was lost. I will seek what was lost. I will also bind up the broken. We see here, I'll bind up the broken. And then I will strengthen the sick. I will strengthen the sick. So seek what was lost, bind up the broken, and strengthen what was sick. Now, God's statement here is that one day in the future, he is going to make sure that the people have a shepherd. And that shepherd came by way of Jesus Christ, the one who would lay his life down for his sheep. Now, we literally see this prophecy in Ezekiel coming to pass as Jesus looks out at the scattered Israelites and is compassionate for them because their leadership is much as they have had in the past. So Jesus looks out, he's sad in his heart, and he understands where they're coming from. He sees where their leadership has failed them and how they are not where they should be. They don't love God as they should. They don't even know God as they should because of the poor leadership in their lives. Now, they are scattered without a shepherd to lead them, but Jesus was here to search them out, to gather them together, to rescue them, to bind up the broken, and to lead them. And by the way, this should have been what the leaders of the Israelites were doing already. You know, this is today what a good pastor does for his flock. You know, in scripture, gospel believers are identified as sheep, and their pastor or minister is called to be their shepherd. Now, God has called your pastor to shepherd you. So don't get mad when he's out searching for you, or praying hard for you, or giving you biblical advice, or trying to help you before you get into a hardship, because this is what a good shepherd is called to do. This is a blessing to those who have a shepherd like this. And there are many shepherds today that only think of themselves, much like those shepherds from Ezekiel chapter 34. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 9, and I want to look carefully at Jesus' statement to his disciples in verses 37 and 38. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, I think there's a really important piece here that I don't want us to miss. Jesus is saying that there are tons of people to reach for the Lord, but there isn't that many workers to do the work. And because of that, you need to pray to the Lord to send out laborers. So we are to pray. And I believe this is a prayer that needs to continue until the harvest has been fully reaped. And not just reaped here at Campbell Bible Church, not just reaped here in California, and not just reaped for this limited amount of time, say the harvest is reaped over the next week. I believe that we need to be praying until the harvest has been completely reaped. As in, we never stop praying until the last person that can possibly accept God's salvation be accepted. Now, why I think this is important is because it is prayer that Jesus is pointing out. And I want us to think about that for a moment, because Jesus is saying that there are few people available to do the work. We need more people. Now, today, many different career areas, there is a shortage of workers, and that includes nurses. Now, hospitals are putting the word out that they need more people, and they are reaching out to get more people, and they are making incentives to get nurses in their door to do the work. But notice that Jesus does not say to go get the workers. He does not say to send out word to everyone that you need laborers. And he doesn't say that you should put incentives out there for the laborers. What does he say? He says, pray. And pray specifically to the Lord of the harvest. In other words, pray to God, because the harvest's success is completely dependent on him. Did you catch that? Pray to God, because the harvest's success is completely dependent on him. Consider with me Psalm chapter 107, verses 33 through 38. God turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. Now, what is our purpose? Our purpose is to glorify God. And how do we glorify God in getting laborers? We do so by praying to God and by relying on him to bless the harvest. Now, the harvest's success, again, is completely dependent on God. If we want to see success in our ministry here at Campbell Bible Church, we need to pray for it. We need to pray for the people within it. We need to pray for the workers. We need to pray for the help. We need to pray that God will be glorified with what we do in this ministry. Now, these aren't quick mealtime prayers. These are times set aside specifically to talk to God and ask for the blessing of the harvest. Ask for strength for your pastor as he preaches in the pulpit, as he teaches through Moments in Truth, as he guides and directs. God can bring great blessings in my life and in your life. He can bring great blessings in your pastor's life. But it starts here with God through prayer. Now, we have to seek the Lord of the harvest regularly for each other and for our ministry if we are going to see success here. Now, prayer is not just left to one or two people. Real success in ministry comes through teamwork. Now, teamwork makes the ministry work, and it all begins with prayer. It's the Lord of the harvest that accomplishes all the work. We are just instructed to bring our prayers and concerns to Him. He does all of the heavy lifting, and most of our doing is simply praying for each other and encouraging each other. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to see most in this church. The one thing that I want to see most in this church, more than I want to see growth of more people coming in the door or more finances or more anything, what I want to see most is God's presence. God's presence. And I don't even care how big we grow or how small we get, as long as we see God's presence. I don't come to church to be entertained. I don't come to church to see friends. I come to church to grow in God's word and to see God's presence. And that is my goal. I want to have this experience, this life-changing experience as I approach the throne of God. And let me just say one word on that statement, a life-changing experience, because a lot of people will come into a church and they will feel like they're really being built up maybe through the music or different things that are happening, and they want to have this experience. The experience doesn't happen by the elements of the worship service that are going on around us. The experience happens by the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And when we're prepared to come before the Lord, and we're prepared to get on our knees and ask God, even beg God, for Him to do a change in our heart, to reveal to us the sin that is within us, then guess what? We will have a life-changing experience. But if we're just coming to God on our Sunday times of worship, and we're not really worshiping, we're just coming to kind of hang out and we're doing the Sunday thing because that's what we normally do, and we're just listening to things and just trying to have a happy experience and enjoy seeing the people that we want to see and so on, we're not going to see change happen. We're just going to see the weekly thing that we do come to fruition. When we want to see God change us, we have to prepare our hearts first and be praying already for God to make that change within us. Let's not forget, our purpose in life is to glorify God. And we glorify God by bringing all of our needs to Him in prayer, not just our needs for hunger or our needs for a place to live or our needs for a new job or something like that. We are to bring our needs, such as the need of conviction. Have you ever prayed for yourself that you would have conviction, that God would bring you conviction? I think that's something that we often stay away from because sometimes conviction can hurt. But we need that. We need to ask God for conviction, for help, to see the sin that is in our lives. And we need to be able to bring all of our needs, including the needs of our ministry, to God. So let's really take some dedicated time this week to pray to the Lord of the harvest and see what He does with our ministry. And also be praying for yourself this week and be praying to the Holy Spirit to bring out and convict you of whatever sins that may be going on in your life that you are either not aware of or that you just don't really want to deal with right now. These are things that we need to get out, and God will show us if we're open to having them shown to us. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank You for the truths here of Matthew chapter 9 and the reflection of the prophecy that came to fruition from Ezekiel chapter 34. We thank You, Lord, that You give us opportunity to live and breathe and to know You and to love You and to have a relationship with You, Lord God. We recognize that in the Bible, we are often identified as sheep, sheep that wander away. That while the shepherd is there trying to care for the sheep, sometimes the sheep don't care so much for the shepherd. Sometimes they wander away and search for greener pastures. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to not wander. Help us, Lord, to obey our shepherd, especially our heavenly shepherd, Lord. Help us, Lord, to listen to the calling of our shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us the example that you came back and searched for these lost people, that you brought them together. And Lord, that you brought all of the sheep together in your fold and continued to show them who you are. And thank you, Lord, that you continue to show us today who you are. Lord, I pray that we would honor you today. I pray, Lord, this week that we would honor you, that we would remember that our sole purpose in life is to glorify you. And I pray today that you would remind us of what that looks like, because we so often forget. Lord, I pray today that you would bring conviction to our hearts where we need to be convicted. Help us, Lord, to see sins in our lives that we haven't taken care of. And I pray, Lord, that we would get those things right with you. I pray, Lord, that pray to you, to the Lord of the harvest, that you would bring the workers, that you would bring the workers to not just Campbell Bible Church, but to the ministries that need workers, the ministries across the world, even in closed countries, Lord God. I pray that you would bring the workers, bring the laborers. I pray, Lord, that you would equip the laborers to do the work. And Lord, I pray for the laborers today that they would not give up, but they would continue to press on and continue, Lord, to focus their attention on you and serving and ministering to others. Lord God, we just thank you for your continued blessings, your love, your presence in our lives. Please continue to change us to be more like you. And I pray that is a heartfelt prayer that we all have today. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Before you go today, I'd like to remind you about two ministries that we have going here at Campbell Bible Church. One is called A Bible Connection. In A Bible Connection, we just sit down together and we read the Bible together. And you don't even, if you'd like to come, but you don't want to read, you don't have to read, you can just sit and listen. But we read through chapters of the Bible, and then we take those chapters and we break them down and we just study them out. And we're not in a hurry to get through the Bible. We're very much taking our time. Typically, we get through one or two chapters a week. And it's just a really good time to just sit and enjoy God's word together. If you have any questions, those are a great time to bring those questions up. And sometimes we talk about things that aren't even in the text, where we just go exploring into scripture. But it's a great time just to sit with people in a relaxing environment, have some refreshment, and enjoy reading the Bible together. I would encourage you to come out for that. That is this week, May 15th. It's every other Wednesday. So if you're not completely familiar as to what date it is, or you're listening at this to this sermon at a different point in time, I would encourage you to go look at ABC or A Bible Connection and see when the next event is going to be for that. And then I also want to remind you about Moments in Truth. If you're not listening to Moments in Truth already on your favorite podcast app, I would encourage you to do so. Moments in Truth is just a good time of taking 10 or 15 minutes to break down God's word. And every episode that we have, we're just casually going through and learning the Bible together. And we've been looking at so many different things of God's truth, whether it be the life of Christ or names of God or familiar meditations. And we have so many different other episodes and themes that we have planned coming up that are very helpful in the Christian life. And it's helpful, too, to be able to identify who is someone who has an understanding of God and who is someone who is an actual gospel believer. We talk about that. And I think that's very important for us to understand in our relationship that is to grow with Jesus Christ. So I'd encourage you to go over to our Moments in Truth page in the menu and look at that to see how you can get some more information about listening to Moments in Truth. And we launch Moments in Truth on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in our series. So I would encourage you to go look at that today. And again, thank you for tuning in today. I encourage you to go out this week and glorify God in all that you do and all that you say. Have a great week.